Hi everyone, I'm Liam and welcome to another episode of Exploring the NQS, a bonus series from the Early Education Show, exclusively for our Patreon supporters. So if you're listening to this, that means you're listening to the main show, which means I want to start with a big thank you. The main show will always be free, but those of you who choose to actually support us financially really, really help us out. In Exploring the NQS, I take a look at one element of the National Quality Standard, one at a time, until I've covered all 40. My background is as an early childhood educator and teacher, centre director, and I currently oversee professional learning and development for Northside Community Service, a not-for-profit early education provider based in Canberra. All right, let's get started. This week, we're looking at element 7.1.2, management systems. It's part of Quality Area 7, Leadership and Service Management, and it's the second element of Standard 7.1, Governance. The description for this element is, systems are in place to manage risk and enable the effective management and operation of a quality service. All right, so what's this one all about? This one's quite a tricky one to break down into these sort of 15-minute chunks. There's also, we probably could summarize this as the boring one. Look, none of the elements of the National Quality Standard are boring. They're all very exciting, and that's why I've spent an entire year breaking them down one by one. But this one, you know, is quite, it's quite tricky. It's very specific. This is kind of about those administration things, those operational type things that are about ensuring that the service is operating well and sort of ensuring compliance. It's tricky to break down because there's lots of little pieces in this one. I mentioned in last week, service philosophy and purpose, that the pages in the Guide to the National Quality Framework were really short. These ones are really long. They've got huge lists of different policies, different laws and regulations that are referred to. We obviously can't go into all of that now. So I'm going to try and whiz through a few different things on this one. But this is really just about making sure we have those administration systems in place to ensure that we're meeting the law and regulations, we're meeting or exceeding the National Quality Standard, and that we're upholding the particular policies we have in place. All right, so let's have a bit of a think about this element in practice. Normally what I do when I sort of sit down and plan out these episodes is try and break this in practice section into about three sections. That just seems to work and sort of gets us through the time frame relatively quickly. Because there are so many lots of sort of bits and pieces around this one, I'm going to try and whiz through a few more, so rather than just the three sections. So I'm going to spend a bit of time on each little section and we can hopefully pull out a few different things to chat about, but really this one, when we get to that, suggestions for nominated supervisors, I'll have some more thoughts about how to approach this from a summary perspective. So the first thing to think about in practice is record management and sort of administrative systems. I wasn't joking when I said this might be the boring one. I'm going to try my best. But really what we're talking about here from a quality perspective is the first thing to think about is probably confidentiality, obviously for children and families, but also for educators as well. How are we storing things? Where are they stored? This is a really interesting one for me when we think about things like children's learning and development. How are those things, if we're providing assessments of children's learning, how do we make sure they're only being available for families? If we're sharing information on Facebook, if we have a Facebook page, you know, are we exploring confidentiality issues there? So there's a real children's rights perspective I think we can approach this one from. But obviously for most services, there'll be an administration component to how we actually store and keep enrollment records, all those kind of things. It's important for nominated supervisors and for people who work professionally in the sector. We often, I think, pass this responsibility over to someone else. We might have an admin person in our center. We might have an approved provider who does that for us, and that's okay. But making sure the nominated supervisor knows and understands what they are. Clearly defined roles here, I think, for me, is the most important thing. Who knows where things go? Who signs what and when? Really important when we think about incident injury forms, those kind of things. So clearly defined roles are really important when we think about records management and administrative systems. Just making sure we know who's doing what and when. The next thing to think about here is sort of notifications and complaints management. So we're talking about that particular area of the National Quality Framework related to how the timeframes for how people need to be notified and when we receive particular complaints or feedback about things that may have alleged to have broken the national law or are not meeting the regulations. In practice for me, this is about making sure that the team really clearly understand the requirements around this. So particularly probably the most common one would be incident, accident, trauma and injury form. So if a child injured themselves or they've become ill, that people take those forms seriously, that they understand they need to be filled in correctly, their legal documents, but also there are notification requirements. It's interesting, you know, throughout my career in early education, there's always been these conversations about, well, you know, what kind of incident do we notify? If it, you know, is it just head injuries or is it scratches? All those different kind of things. You know, in my experience and the way I've approached it as, particularly maybe now I'm a parent, is that I'd want to know about any incident that was happening to my child. So we've always, in places I've worked recently, it's just said, look, if we're having to fill in an incident form, we contact the parents immediately, and that immediately gets us around the notification period. But however you do that, making sure your team understand, and that it's not just, oh, because, you know, that's a directive from the boss. It's because, no, it's in the law and the regulations that, you know, we have to notify families within 24 hours of an incident, and we have to know the regulator with similar timeframes. So that's really important. Probably where I've seen particularly good practice in this area is actually having those notification periods on the form itself, so that educators are actually reading them as they go through. I reckon that's a really great bit of advice that I'd suggest people follow. And with grievance and complaints, just making sure there's a really clear process, that we don't immediately leap to defensiveness and trying to deflect the complaint, but that we acknowledge it, we upfront, and that we have clear processes for who, you know, gets the complaint, who deals with it, and how we make sure we've notified CECA if that's appropriate. I'd really recommend for this one is that you go straight to the ASEQA website. You know, don't get advice from Facebook or from the centre down the road. ASEQA have a really clear guidance on notification timeframe. So if you just go to asequa.gov.au and even just search for notifications, you'll find all that there. The next thing to think about is how the practices of the service align with the actual policies and procedures with the service. So Regulation 168 states the minimum policies that every service operating under the NQF has to have. And these are around sort of medical management, medical administration, staffing arrangements, a whole range there. But most services will have a whole bunch more above that, which are really important. So how we make sure that the service is actually operating to those policies and procedures is a really critical question. So for those who are in leadership roles, you know, how are the policies available? How many do we have? Is it reasonable that a, you know, new educator coming on board would be able to read and understand 110 policies? Or do we have, you know, somewhere, you know, in the region of, you know, 20 to 30 that's maybe understandable and comprehensible? How are they shared with educators and families during that induction period? Are they regularly, you know, checked up on, the people understand how they're being done, and then, you know, that review and redrafting process that educators and families, you know, are involved in that process. But, you know, this is a really big, you know, in practice, this is the work of a centre. How do we make sure those policies and procedures are being upheld at all times? Are they readable? Are they understandable? This is where, you know, getting in support from, you know, people who are, you know, experts in this field is often a great idea to really make sure that they're meeting the requirements that we need. And then the last thing to think about here is this idea about fit and proper staff. We had a big discussion about these kind of issues back in Quality Area 4, staffing arrangements. Really what this element is asking us to drill down on particularly is things like working with children checks, and that we're making sure the educators or other support staff we have working in centres are actually fit and proper people to be working in a space that works alongside young children. So if your state or territory has those working with children checks, that they're being followed and upheld and checked, and if they don't, that there is still maybe national police checks or something being done, or that, you know, particular reference checks are completed and interview questions asked to try and make sure we don't have people who shouldn't be working with children working in services. But this is really getting back to that idea of recruitment and induction, which I think I've talked a lot about in this series, because this is the opportunity to make sure we have the right people working with centres, that we really take that process carefully and seriously to make sure the people we're recruiting on behalf of children, which is what we're doing, are the right people to be in centres. And it saves us a lot of time and energy and effort later when we have to, you know, try and manage people who are performing badly if we've gone through that process initially to get that right. All right, we've whizzed through quite a lot, but let's have a think about some suggestions for nominated supervisors. I'm going to try and take more of a summary view here, because really the advice for nominated supervisors is quite complex for this one, because there's so many different pieces that the nominated supervisor needs to be aware of. But the first thing I would think about is in this particular area is don't assume particular things. Often with administrative systems, there'll be a lot set up that's already in place, maybe when we started the nominated supervisor role, or even if we've been in that role for a long time ourselves, just processes and things that are built up and become the accepted way of doing things. We should always be wary of doing things because that's what we've always done. Always, you know, go back and check if we're starting in a new role, if we're new in a particular role. We should really be making sure ourselves, we shouldn't be assuming that the last person in that role got everything right or that systems worked perfectly for that person. Really go back and check that you're happy with how the policies and procedures are being upheld. How are we ensuring fit and proper staff? How are we making sure the systems are actually supporting people to do their jobs? So thinking about what's in place, you know, what are the administrative systems that are in place? And if there are gaps, don't assume it's because you're doing something wrong. It might just be the system isn't quite working. These are really complex things with lots of moving pieces. So it would be really surprising if there weren't things that were slight gaps or things that are not working. So definitely go and do that. The next thing to think about here is the relationship between the nominated supervisor and the approved provider. So the nominated supervisor in day-to-day charge of the service and the approved provider who owns the business or is the organization in charge of, one or multiple services. In some cases, there may be listeners who are both, and I take my hat off to you. That's a very challenging role to be both the nominated supervisor and a approved provider. I know a few of them, and they are some of the most organized people I've ever met. I definitely could never do that. But most people, nominated supervisors, will be working with an approved provider who does particular things for them. And often administrative systems fall into this particularly clearly. So you may come into an organization with existing policies and procedures that work across multiple centers or particular administrative approaches that are sort of the same across all the centers. So where that's the case, and that can be a good thing. It means that systems have been tried and tested over a range of different centers and a range of different situations. What it means as a nominated supervisor is you just need to know what they are and feel comfortable to raise particular issues, and that as the nominated supervisor you have those clear lines of communication between yourself and the approved provider to get that stuff right. And that's really what that comes down to. Is there an ability to raise concerns? Is there ability for that back and forth to take place, both responding to particular incidents as well as being proactive about things that are concerning you? But having that relationship in place is really important, and understanding the administrative processes of the approved provider and how that translates to you and your service. That's the really important part of this relationship. And then thinking about the quality improvement plan, I've only got one here, and really this one is, I think, so specific to the type of center you are and the relationship with the approved provider. I've got a very general one here because I think you would really need to go back and think about what's working or not working for you or your service. So the only goal I would have here is that the nominated supervisor and a representative of the approved provider regularly meet to review and improve management systems. So this is really general, really vague, but it means we have a set time where we can be discussing these issues at least back and forth, and probably some goals can fall out of that. Particularly from the nominated supervisor side, who is, on the ground actually doing this work, and for the approved provider, what are the requirements of the business or the organization mean we have to do things in this particular way. But if we have that set time to have those meetings, that means we can demonstrate some thinking and planning around this area. And as I said, it's probably some other quick goals could fall out of that. All right, that's it for element 7.1.2. We made it through. I feel like I've kind of whizzed through quite a lot here. For nominated supervisors in particular, I'd really recommend reading the Guide to the National Quality Framework for this element. But just, take a review, take stock of the work you're doing in this area and what's working, what's not working. These are really complex, difficult roles. There are always things we can improve, and there are always things that will be challenging no matter what we put in place. But good luck to everyone out there who's going to be taking a deep dive into their admin systems this week. But that's it for this week. We'll be back next week with the final element of Standard 7.1. We are really closing in on the end of the National Quality Standard. So thank you to everyone who's been listening, and I'll see you next week.